Welcome to Careertools. This week, Working From Home Will Stunt Your Career, Chapter 3, Relationships, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what effect will working from home have on my career, and what should I consider when debating whether to work from home?
Folks, this is Mark. You're about to listen to the last podcast we do in the year 2021. And rather than doing an ad, I just thought I'd wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I hope you've had a good year. It has been a tough year for many people. If it has been a good year for you, I encourage you to keep those people who've had a tough year in your mind and in your heart and do what you can for them. What will we put on earth to do if not to help one another through? In the new year, I encourage you to be loving, ethical, kind, hardworking, and successful, because it takes all of us to make the world a better place, and I know you're doing your best to do your part. Happy New Year from all of us at Manager Tools.
Andrew, this is the third of a series of three, which all had two parts. So this is the fifth and sixth part of this cast series, all based on whether or not you want to work from home and planning that, working out whether or not the advantages and the disadvantages work for you in the future. And every time we've said this, so we'll make sure we say it again just so that everybody has heard it. Working from home during the pandemic is not like working from home when everybody else goes back to the office, or when some people go back to the office, or when you're partly remote and partly in the office. It's going to be different when that's a normal part of your work life. And because of that, we want you to consider carefully whether or not you want to do that. And part of the reason for careful consideration is it is really easy to be overlooked when you're at home. And that's why we say it'll stunt your career, because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, it's easy for managers, for other people in your organization to forget you exist almost. So we wanted you to consider that carefully. So the first part of this series is talking about all the different factors that go into making a decision about whether or not you want to work from home. The second part was about how to carry on getting the results that will get you a, you know, career movement, upward career trajectory. Gosh, that's a different word.
Yeah.
Upward career movement. And this part is about relationships. If we've said it once, we've said it 100 times that careers are built on results and relationships. You have to have both. And so this one's going to be about how relationships are affected when you're working from home, and also how you can mitigate the negative effects that happen.
Yeah. Before we go through our outline, Wendy, I forgot I was going to mention this to you. Something that I thought was really interesting. My wife is a professional as well, and she's her company's going through what I think a lot of companies are going through right now with kind of the great resignation that we're in. It's a very hot job market. And so they have a lot of openings and they're trying to fill. And it's interesting because they're also, amid that, working through the process of going back to the office, right? And figuring that out, right? Is it a hybrid model? Does everyone go all the way back? You know, certain places going back versus others, just different divisions, departments. And it's interesting because she just shared with me today, this morning, she said there was this big opening that they were really trying to get filled, not in her team, but someone she knows, their team. And they said, we had a candidate, strong candidate, thought we were moving forward, it was going to be good. And they mentioned to that candidate, well, we're going to go back to the office soon. So this is what that's going to look like. And the candidate withdrew, said, no, I don't want to go back to the office. Their plan is to work remotely. And so, you know, there are definitely people who are saying, this is now what I'm going to choose for my career. And so what a great way to kind of say, all right, well, if you're going to make that choice, good for you. Understanding these are the things you need to consider. So our outline for today is the work from home discount on relationships. Okay. One is that you're going to have fewer relationships. Two is lower communication quantity. Three is lower communication quality. And then we're going to talk through what can you do, right? What you can do is you can master work communications, okay? You can turn your video on, those types of things, okay? And we're going to talk through that.
The work from home discount on relationships, like a discount in a store. If something is damaged, you get a discount. Working from home isn't damaged, that's not quite, but it isn't the same as having someone in the office, and there's a discount on the relationships. So if we haven't yet convinced you that relationships are key to your career, we're going to try and do that. There's a lot of people who think that, oh, it's just about the results. If I'm a salesperson, getting the sales in, as long as I'm hitting my numbers, doesn't matter about anything else. Doesn't matter what production thinks. As long as I've hit my numbers, then production can, you know, they just have to make what I just sold. And It doesn't work that way. So we're going to try and convince you. It is the relationships that keep your results on track. It's really easy to put effort in on the wrong thing. Really easy. I was doing something this morning and I was doing one of those focus things where you buddy up with someone and they're on video and you're on video and you don't talk, but you both work. And for some reason that works to make you concentrate. Yeah. I don't know why, but I was doing that. And they said, what are you working on? And I said, I'm working on this. I really want to work on the other thing that's super interesting, but I need to work on this. And so it's really easy to get distracted and work on the stuff that's interesting and not the stuff you work that you're supposed to be working on or that's the most important stuff, especially like if you're like me and easily distracted. And it's relationships that make sure that your efforts are valued. When you've done a piece of work, it's partly the relationship that makes someone read it properly, think about how it works, think about whether it's of value rather than, you know, skim it and go, okay, yeah, good, and move on. It's relationships that mean you get a heads up about work that you're doing that's of no value because that project's about to be cancelled or we're not doing that. I was doing something the other day with somebody and I was just about to do a bunch of work and she said, nope. Mike says, we're not doing it. I was like, okay, good. Glad you told me. And it was like 3 days until Mike told me, but I got the heads up because I had a relationship.
Right. How many hours of your life did you get back, right? Being able to work on something else.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, it wasn't what I wasn't working on wasn't confidential, but sometimes it is like that decision hasn't formally been announced. And so you just get a hint. You know, someone says, hey, if I were you, I'd just put that at the bottom of your pile. And like 3 days later, you find out that project's been cancelled.
Right.
Because or the put formal on hold. Or... Yeah, whatever. So relationships are important to the work you're doing being the results that you want to get.
Absolutely. Because of the relationships, right, you know what's really important to someone who's important in your work life. Like, for instance, there's this boss that seems to be popping up, right? Everybody has this person above them on the org chart. And, you know, your boss, of course, as you go through your annual review, I know large organizations that I've been a part of, right? We all have, you know, key objectives that we have to, align with in the organization and we have to get and achieve. But my boss has their own, you know, objectives and maybe written or unwritten things that I need to achieve. And so without a relationship, right, I don't know those things. I don't see those telltale signs of that. I mean, and even if you think of at your boss's level, right, when you think of, you know, maybe wanting to get to that level one day, your boss, if you look at your boss's relationship with their peers and their boss, right, the higher up you go, the more important relationships are, and the more important trust in those relationships is. And, you know, it's really important because having relationships, not only with your boss, but with your boss's peers, if you're looking to grow, right? When you look at your boss could have a mountain of support for you when it's time for a promotion or there's an opening, right? But if you don't have a relationship with the people that will soon be your peers or could potentially be your peers, they're loyalty is going to fall elsewhere,
yeah,
right?
With someone who they. It's going to be much harder for you.
It's going to be much harder for you, right? And so, yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the relationships for a myriad of reasons come in, they're so crucial when it comes to, you know, what you're looking to do in terms of career growth or even just achieving those results to remain steadfast in where you are, if that's what you want.
Yeah. One of my friends used to work for somebody who was well known for sleeping in the office. And my friend is a civil servant and he was in one of those can't be fired jobs, which I'm putting in, what do you call them? Air quotes.
Air quotes.
Because I don't believe in can't be fired, but he was in a can't be fired job. But can you imagine if you were working from home for that boss? Like, you'd want to know something, you'd need some information and he'd be snoring. Do you think that he knew what was going on or that he was supportive of his team? I can tell you he was not. And good thing that my boss, my friend is a take charge type, because she just ran the team and then got promoted based on her results. That the infamous got promoted twice, that was my friend. You know, Zoom didn't exist at the time, but, you know, if he had was having Zoom meetings with my friend working from home, and you're like, oh, great, I've got a boss, he talks to me, but you don't know that the other 38 hours a week, he's asleep.
Yeah, if he's waking up only to show up for your meeting, right? That's all you see.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that's a really extreme example, but it does show you get this really limited view of what's happening if you're at home and the rest of the team is not.
Yeah. There's something else air quotes are called. Is it?
Oh, I call them inverted commas.
Inverted commas, yes.
But I use that and then Mark corrects me. So.
Right. And I think we've talked about this, but just to touch on this point again, we know that being part of an out-group or being seen as kind of an outsider slows your career down. You know, relationships keep you connected to the organization through the people that work there, right? And so they're what connect you to that kind of corporate grapevine and being able to understand or maybe be in the know on information. Like what we talked about earlier, something is coming down the pike or there's a project that's going to get delayed or moved and someone knows that, you know, Wendy's working on that and I like Wendy. I have a relationship with Wendy. So yeah, I'm going to go say, hey, Wendy, you might want to hold off on that, right? And just, you know, there's more to come on that. And I think this is why, as we talk through this, right, we talk about the kind of feminist movement, right? Where women were fighting so hard against kind of this concept of the old boys club, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't necessarily the boys part of the club. It was the relationships. It was that they had relationships and that they talked, you know, amongst each other, but they also had non-work conversations. They spent time outside of work. And that's what was really stifling amid other things, but that was a primary reason for that stifling of women's careers.
And working remotely diminishes relationships. No matter how much you wish it wasn't so, you can try and convince us it doesn't work. And it puts you outside the new kind of privileged network, which is the in the office club, which is exactly. Now going to replace the old boys club. And in many cases, the old boys club wasn't intentionally keeping women out. It wasn't so much that there was an opportunity that came up and somebody said, don't put Susan in that job. Women can't do that job. What would happen was somebody would know, oh, Bob, I've been going to play golf with him. He's a really good guy. He can do that job. We'll put him in. And Bob would get the job and Susan wouldn't, because the job would be filled by someone that the manager knew and had a relationship with. So it was an indirect discrimination in the sense that, you know, it wasn't an active, don't put Susan in. It was an indirect, let's put Bob in. Oh, there isn't a vacancy for Susan. And that's what's going to happen to people who are in the office. Somebody is, you know, a manager or on another team is going to come up to your manager and say, hey, I noticed that Susan does a really good job and I've got this vacancy on my team. Do you want to fill it? And by the time that Jill, who's working at home, finds out about that vacancy, Susan's already filled it. And it's not because they intentionally wanted to keep Jill out. It's because they have a relationship with Susan. They've seen her working. She exists in their mind, as we talked about last time. If you're just an email address, you're just a cardboard cutout. You're not a 3D person. And so that person's going to get the opportunities that you're not going to get. And the only way you're going to get around that is relationships.
Yeah. And I know we'll get mail on this, and I look forward to those. But I also think, to your point, I mean, the same thing happened for other men who weren't in the club or
right.
didn't play golf or didn't go, you know, have a drink after work. And so
there's all sorts of
there's all sorts of groups.
You can use this for practically any group that's been discriminated against any time ever. And all of it's bad for so many reasons. And we just want to give you the heads up that we can see this one coming. The office club is going to be one.
Absolutely. So the next thing we're going to talk about is fewer relationships. So that's the next thing on our outline here. And proximity, at the end of the day, right, creates relationships. There was a great study. I think we've referenced this a few times. We have a podcast on the Allen curve. And in the late 1970s, Thomas Allen conducted research to determine how the distance between engineers' offices affected communication between them. And he found that there's a strong negative correlation between physical distance and the frequency of communication, even when the two people are involved on the same team or project.
Right, you'd think they would have to talk to each other, but yeah. Two people in two different offices on the same project talk to each other less than two people in the same office on different projects.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes no sense. When I read that data, I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I must have read that wrong, but no.
Right. The engineers who were located closer to each other communicated more frequently, even though they had really no organizational reason to do so, just because they're there, right? We communicate more by phone, email, IM, with those who are located near us than we do with those who are located further away. I think of simple examples. Like, I remember working in an office, and even though someone didn't work, their office wasn't, you know, on my same floor, I knew they were in the same building, and there was a new kind of soup and salad place for lunch. And I said, we tried it, and I said, oh, that was pretty good. So I shot, you know, Diana a note. She's two floors down. And I said, hey, if you haven't tried that new soup and salad place, I know you're vegan. And so I think that'd be really good. You might like it, right? And just, I wouldn't have sent that to someone who's in another state because there's no reason to.
No, that's right. It's like, you know, who am I going to borrow the cable that I left at home? Like, I'm going to go to the guy next door in the office. I'm not going to go to, even if someone is on my team or there's someone I know better is further away, I'm not going to go all the way down there to say, hey, you got a power cable I can borrow. You're going to go to the guy who's sitting next to you.
Right. Or, you know, I remember getting, it only happened a couple times. I promise I wasn't this guy, but I knew somebody who worked, their desk was literally 10 steps from like the side door to get in the building, and you needed a badge to get in the building. And somebody would call me and say, oh my gosh, I don't have my badge, da 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 da. Now, whether I was supposed to or not, I called my friend and said, hey, I've got somebody who's right outside the door. They work here, I promise, right? Like all that. Can you just open the door real quick for them? And they were like, yeah, no problem. But again, I wouldn't have done that if they worked in, you know, three states over.
I worked with somebody who had a desk like that, that was like weirdly in a position where everybody who walked into the building, if they had any question at all, asked that person. And had to have their desk moved because they never got any work done. And they knew everybody in the building, of course.
Oh, yeah. They never got absolutely.
And telephone calls and video calls just don't have the same relationship building time or quality that in-person meetings do. This seemed to be a phase. It seems to have gone away again. But Zoom fatigue was what everyone was talking about. And because everybody was fed up with being on Zoom, they would join a call at 30 seconds before a meeting started. And as soon as somebody said, I think we're adjourned, they would click that leave meeting button. And so there was no time for chit chat. When I've been helping with virtual training, the number of people that send a message at 5 minutes past that say, I can't get into the meeting. It's like, well, you clearly didn't start trying at 10:02, did you?
Yeah. You know, sometimes when we do trainings for clients, we'll have like our executive sponsor, someone high up in the organization that says, hey, can I get like the first 5 minutes to just kind of set the stage and introduce the training? And we say, yeah, absolutely. That would be great. That helps. And I'm not going to name any names, but just I've been on one of those where someone, the executive sponsor came in, you know, 1 minute before the meeting started. And the, you know, we start on time. If you have any questions about that, we start on time. And we started and they started introducing, you know, the training and stuff, but I could see on their face that there were only maybe half of the people that were supposed to be in the room. And then people were still kind of filtering in 1, 2, 3, 4 minutes after. And I could see the look on that executive sponsor's face going, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Just made note of all your names.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the other nice thing when you're working in an office is you often find yourself working in the same direction as somebody. So, you know, somebody will be going to a meeting and you'll be going to the meeting in the room next to there. And so you walk down the corridor together, or you're leaving a meeting room and they're in the meeting room next to you and you end up walking in the same direction, having a chat. And none of that happens clearly on phone or video calls. So you miss all those little tiny opportunities, which are about relationships.
Yeah. You know, there's a great point here about having lunch and having kind of a impromptu opportunity to, you know, meet a new colleague. You know, you're going to have lunch with a friend, and they happen to have someone new in the office, and so they bring them along, and you get to meet someone new, someone, you know, another kind of point of contact in that department or whatever. And I remember that it's funny because I've had kind of these little like eye-opening kind of aha moments throughout my career, and I remember specifically having someone that, not quite a mentor, but somebody who was more senior than me in the organization, and we would have lunch every once in a while, and I kind of saw them as kind of a mentor unofficially, and every once in a while, he would bring someone else to lunch. And I remember being young, immature, and thinking like, well, this is kind of my time with him. Like, I don't really, yeah. like, you why know, I'm sharing? A little like, hey, wait a minute, right? And then, you know, the high C in me says, wait, this is a lunch for two. Now, this is three. No, yes. Absolutely not. This is the wrong answer. But then, I don't remember what it was. I think it was just, he brought along someone that I really hit it off with and then ended up being good friends with in the organization and realized like, I would never have had that connection or known that person if this person didn't bring him along. And then I thought, what a service he was doing to me as a junior person in the organization by bringing other folks along that I would have never had access to or talked to at all. And, you know, just a small little example of how without having a lunch or that, you know, in-person interaction, it wouldn't have happened. Because on a Zoom call, you would never say, oh, hey, why don't you just join me for this Zoom call?
Yeah. It doesn't. Hey, just come. Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's weird.
Yeah. So it's those relationships that just kind of happen through happenstance and because it's more convenient in person. Those are the things that are just, you lose that when you're remote. You know, the relationships with admins and people that you need to interact with, receptionists, print room folks, you know, those HR folks that you have to go and get badges printed and those types of stuff. You lose all that interaction, that ability to kind of put a face to a name and know that there's a real person at that desk and doing that job. And yeah, I think you lose all that if you're not co-located with someone.
Having described relationships, we'll leave you to think about all of those relationships for this week. And we'll come back next week. We're going to talk about communication, and then we're going to talk about exactly what you can do to mitigate the issues that working from home or working remotely causes on relationships. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.